The Coming of the Son of Man to the Earth by Pastor Mark Hornbaker, First Baptist Church, Lewis, Kansas.
Matthew 24. We've had a little interim or whatever. Last week, of course, we had a missionary here, one of our missionaries, a veteran missionary to Brazil. They shared with us a little bit about their field, and Brother Swedberg brought a message for us, and we were certainly glad to have them. Thank you for the very generous gift that the church was able to give through you, and they were very, very appreciative. Matthew 24, beginning with verse number 15. Sometimes in God's Word there are unique words describing events. Today is one of those such times. Christ is answering the questions that his disciples had. The three questions, actually, that they had were these. When shall these things be? That is, the destruction of the temple, the end of the world. The disciples thought all of that went together. Christ, of course, lets them know in his answer here in the next chapters that that doesn't all go together. It will happen, but there'll be different times when certain things occur. And so they want to know when those things would happen. What shall be the sign of thy coming? Second question. And of the end of the world. Sign of the end of the world. So those are the three questions that Jesus is answering in his answer to them. Two weeks ago, we talked to you about the need to be aware of what to expect. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Many will come, Jesus said, and say, I'm the Christ. Don't believe them. When Jesus comes, you're going to know it. I mean, there'll be no question in mind when Jesus comes to this earth. I mean, it'll be very clear. In fact, the Word of God says, every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. Now, that's going to be pretty obvious. I'll let you in on a couple of tidbits. When Jesus plants his feet on the mount, it's going to cleave in two. Part. Water will run from the west to the east. It'll cleanse the Dead Sea. Water will run from that new rebuilt temple that's going to be in Jerusalem. That's significant, what you were talking about earlier. Significant. That temple's going to be rebuilt before the events that we talk about today. You see, when Jesus was on this earth about 33 A.D., the disciples thought that there's no way that this temple site can be leveled. But it was. The temple will be rebuilt again. I'm here to tell you that. It's going to be rebuilt again. Right now, on part of that temple site is the Mosque of Omar. Okay? So some rather significant events are going to have to take place before that occurs. I'm just here to tell you those things. That God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So we can expect it. We can expect before Christ comes again, though, that there'll be wars, rumors of wars. What do you hear about all over the world? Wars drag on. Rumors of wars. Those things are occurring. But before these events take place, I'm telling you, it's significant that the temple needs to be rebuilt again. And you say, why is that? Those little words in verse 15. You will see the abomination of desolation. And what that's talking about is Daniel's prophecy, Daniel 9:27. In Daniel 9:27, it predicts those events. 2 Thessalonians, the apostle, talks about that event occurring. In fact, the old temple was desecrated. In fact, they offered a pig. Antiochus, I hope I say this right, Antiochus Epiphanes offered a pig on the sacred altar there. That's just a preface for what's going to happen in the end time. You see, in the end time, the Antichrist will come. He will rise up. He will make a peace pact with Israel. But it says, in the middle of the week, that is the 70th week of Daniel, in the middle of the week, he'll break that pact. He will declare himself to be God, and he'll do that in the temple. That's why I'm saying the temple's got to be rebuilt again. He's going to sit in that temple. He's going to demand that people worship him as God. That's the Antichrist. Now, don't get confused when you're reading God's Word. Things like this. John said there are many Antichrists. And there are and will be. People that say they are the Christ. But there's only one final great Antichrist. He is the final culmination of Satan's plan to deceive people. By the way, Satan tries to mimic God in a lot of different ways. There is not only the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There is also a satanic trinity. Satan, the false prophet, and there's also Antichrist. You got to be careful. The deceiver is on his job. Satan would deceive, as you heard in our text this morning, the very elect. What is he talking about? The elect are the ones who will trust Christ as their Savior. They're the chosen ones. They're the ones that the Lord is going to redeem. They have trusted Christ as their personal Savior. They are the elect. It's a special thing to be a part of the family of God. He calls us the elect, the chosen ones, set apart to give glory to God. It's all because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came into this world to save sinners, of which I am one. And by the way, you are one as well. But by His grace, He can and will save us. Amen?
Amen.
We can look forward to the future because we know who holds the future in His hand. The very one who holds the future holds you in his hand too, if you've given your heart and life to him. God's word makes it very clear. There's coming a day of deception. It's not on us yet, but I believe it's very close to when they begin to talk about rebuilding the temple. That's a necessity. Because Satan is going to send the Antichrist to that site, and he will break that peace pact that I talked about earlier with Israel in the middle of the week, and the week is 7 years long.
We won't be here.
We won't be here. Because I also believe God's word teaches that the Lord will not cause the righteous to suffer along with the wicked. God has shown that again and again. We have examples of how God works. Remember when the wicked cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, were destroyed? And Abraham had that conversation with God. And Abraham finally got God down to 10 souls. If there are 10 righteous souls there, I won't destroy those cities. But he couldn't find 10. Lot couldn't find 10 to go along with him. But you know what? God didn't destroy Lot and his two daughters. Sadly, Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Reminds us we must not look back. We look forward as God's people. We look forward to what God has for us. Amen?
Amen.
We look forward to a joyous reunion with Christ. And one day we'll be caught up together with redeemed who have gone on before us.
Amen.
And we'll meet the Lord in the air. Amen.
Amen.
Then it'll be joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's all before what Christ is talking about here. All occurs before the tribulation. God won't take his people through that. Oh, it doesn't mean that there won't be people saved during that time, because there will. There'll be a lot of other people saved as well, but God will take us out. Take us in the air to be with Christ. What a joyous day that'll be when we see Christ in the air. This morning, though, we're talking about the coming of the Son of Man to the earth. Christ will come to the earth, not just in the air and snatching us out, but he will come to this earth to judge the wicked. Then there will be great tribulation, such as there never has been or ever will be. The abominable desolation occurs when, I say, when Antichrist will sit in that temple, declaring himself to be God and demanding that people worship him. And by the way, he'll put some kind of a mark on you if you're not a believer. That's how they'll know. That's how they'll make a separation. That's how they'll make a difference. Thanks be to God. If the Lord knows you, if you're one of the elect, the one who has chosen to receive Christ, and Christ said, they're my elect. They're mine. Devil, you can't touch them. But you know what? I thought about it this week. Things are going to be so bad on this earth for one basic reason. As long as the believers are here on this earth, guess where the Holy Spirit of God is? Amen?
Yeah.
He's in you who believe. He's the one that's protecting you. He's the one that's keeping the wicked one from touching you. It's kind of like, remember the book of Job in the Word of God? Satan couldn't touch Job without permission from God. And you know what? God's put His seal on you, the seal of promise. And that seal is the Holy Spirit of God, living inside you to keep you from the wicked one. He would destroy us all if He could. But He can't. Because He can't resist God. He has to ask God for permission to touch any of His servants. And if God allows anything to come into your life or my life that seems hard and tough, listen, there's a reason. There's a reason God permits that. I believe the reason is that we might draw closer to the Lord, become more of the person He wants us to be. Yeah? Knowing the Lord doesn't bar us from trouble. You and I, as God's people, will have plenty of troubles in this life. But you know what? We look forward because we're going out of this world. We're not staying here. This world is not my home, and neither is it your home if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. One day He's going to take us out, and all these troubles will happen. But God will still have witnesses for Jesus Christ on this world, to share with people the necessity of trusting Christ as Lord and Savior. Thanks be to God. He gives us and them the opportunity to trust Jesus today. The Word of God reminds us today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Don't harden your heart. Listen to God and say yes to Him. Yes, Lord, yes. Come into my life and save me. It'll be a terrible time. People will flee to the mountains. He says, when those times occur, don't look back, but rather we as God's people, we've already gone up. We're expecting greater things, because then great tribulation will happen. And He says, except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, the chosen ones, those days will be shortened. So if any man will say to you, here is Christ or there is Christ, don't believe them. There will arise many false Christs. They'll be here and there all over the world. Those things will happen. One of the interesting things that I note is that Christ will come when people least expect it. Remember during Noah's time when God came in judgment? They weren't expecting destruction then, but it came. But God saved those that believed. Wow. Only 8 people were seen as righteous in that day. Wow, there's a few more of them than us here today, aren't there? God is gracious, and God is kind and long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Notice that when Jesus comes, it'll be quick. Jesus uses examples to show us. He said it's kind of going to be like lightning. You ever watched lightning? I'd like to see some lightning again. Usually lightning means there's rain. We need rain. But lightning, it goes so quickly from here to there. When Christ comes, there'll be no chance for people to get ready. You've got to be ready before He comes. Lightning. Christ will come just like a lightning bolt that streaks across the sky. Here 1 second. No opportunity to get ready. And if you're in the wrong place where it strikes, you're in trouble. Guess what? God's people won't be here when that happens. They'll come with Christ because they're already with Christ. Christ will come in judgment, though, to judge this world and the wickedness in it. His word assures us things will wax worse and worse to the end. Are you like me? Sometimes I say, God, how bad does it have to get before you come? Wow. To me, it's getting worse and worse. But I see signs of things occurring, things setting up. I hear of those wars. I see events in our world and people are talking about rebuilding the temple. Wow. All of those events key together. They show us the time is getting closer. Other scriptures describe it like birth pangs. You know? How do you know the birth is close? You get out your stopwatch, well, no, you get your watch out and you say, when was the last contraction? Okay, right? How far apart are those? When you get down to a certain amount of minutes, why, they begin to say, hey, it's time to go to the hospital. Right? Closer and closer. More of those events, like earthquakes, in various different places all over the world. All of those events are occurring. Everything is setting up. Everything is pointing to the coming of the Lord to judge this world. But we know certain events are going to happen first. Going to have to be a temple there to desecrate, right? Going to have to be a peace treaty with the Jewish people. All of those events occur before that. But you know what? It points the time is getting closer and closer. I look at world leaders and I think, is this the one that will be Antichrist? What do they think? Are they a deceiver? I'll let you in on something I think. I think that this Antichrist is going to be about as smooth a talker as you ever come across. Kind of like one of those that convinced Eskimos that they need to buy ice. You know? I'm serious. That's why we've got to be wise, according to God's truth. We've got to know what the truth says. We've got to know what to look forward to. We've got to keep our eyes focused on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. listening to His Word and to His Spirit, who will guide us into all truth and show us the way today and help us to be the people we need to be to make a difference in our world, because so many don't know that one day it's going to be too late to trust Jesus as your Savior.
Amen.
That's why the Word of God encourages us to give our heart to Him today and say, Lord, here's my life. I can make a total mess of it, but I know by Your grace You can change things around, and You can use my life just like You used that, I'm going to call them this, the motley crew. The disciples? You look at Jesus' disciples. They were kind of a motley crew, weren't they? I mean,
amen.
But what God did is showed us His grace. How you can take people that seem so inept and so unlikely, and God can use them. And you know what? If He can use them, He can use you to make a difference right in your world where you're at.
Amen.
Because you know what the future holds. And you know the One that holds the future. And He can turn your life around and make it different than it was yesterday. If you simply said, Lord, here's my life. Take my life and use it to point others to You, so that they might know the joy unspeakable and full of glory that Jesus Christ can give to them day by day. Thank You, Lord, for what You've done. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. And I look forward to that day when we shall see Christ. Amen?
Amen.
When He comes in His glory. What a glorious day that'll be when He calls us home to be with Him. Escaping the great tribulation. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God for what He's going to do. Believe Him, receive Him, follow Him, let Him work in you for His glory. Heavenly Father, thank You for the Word. Oh, there's so much more that we could say. But Lord, we want to focus on You today. Because God, You are the important one through Your Son, Jesus Christ. You make the difference in our lives. God, You make us, transform us into what we could not be ourselves. Guide us each one. Work in us each one. And make us into the people that give glory to You and point others to Jesus as a hope for time and eternity. Guide us all by Your Spirit. Make us in the people that give glory to Your name. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.